It's Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Let's talk some Cleveland Browns football as we welcome in Fox 8's own John Telitz. JT, how are you doing today, man?
Doing fantastic. As we are putting the show together, talking, it's a phenomenal day, so I'm enjoying it.
There you go.
Enjoying the fall.
Absolutely, JT, and I'll tell you some not-so-phenomenal news that happened yesterday afternoon around 10:30 or so. Breaking news that Baker Mayfield would not be participating in tonight's contest, the Thursday night matchup with the Denver Broncos. It will be Case Keenum getting the nod for the Brown and Orange, so of course we have to start there. JT, just your thoughts about this. Do you think Keenum's ready to go against the Broncos? Do you think the team has confidence in him? How do you think this plays out tonight with Case in there instead of Baker?
Well, I think first and foremost, Brian Seif can breathe easy. His record of 71 consecutive starts as quarterback of the Cleveland Browns is now safe. Baker was at 53, and obviously that is coming to an end with Case.
Yeah.
Listen, they picked up this guy. He's 33 years of age. You know, he's not a young quarterback like he was a few seasons ago when he was successful in his role there in Minnesota. But he's a professional quarterback. He can move the team. They all have confidence in him. And he'll be more of a pocket presence kind of a guy as opposed to a Baker rolling out. He'll still do his play action, I'm sure. But I think the bigger factor is whether or not, and this is something we don't have the information on as we put this show together, is the two tackles.
Mm-hmm.
Wills and Conklin, I certainly think maybe part of that status may have played a role in the Browns going to Baker and saying, in so many words, hey, you know, I know you want to play. I know you've shown to be a tough guy and a leader and sacrificing your body, but, you know, it could be detrimental for you to be out there. And Case is a pro. Case can come in and do the job for us. And so, you know, it's not like they had to convince Baker and he was going to, you know, pout and say, you're going to play me or else. It wasn't the case at all, I'm sure. It's just that they all came to realize that 2 weeks of rest for Baker, let things calm down in that shoulder, do a little strengthening around it, not getting, you know, not having a chance of getting re-injured. All those factors come into play. At this stage in the season, you have a professional backup quarterback. He's on your roster. He does a nice job. Put him in there and let him play. They'll be confident in his abilities as well.
And you mentioned, JT, as we speak now, we don't fully know the extent of the injury report, especially with the two tackles there. So,
yeah.
You know, let's assume those two tackles are absent. And again, we don't know that for sure, but let's assume that they are. So obviously,
yeah.
Keenum, just heading into this one, you're already kind of behind the eight ball a bit in that regard, with missing two starting tackles. Obviously, the running back situation is kind of up in the air right now as well. So are there some things this team can sort of do for Case to make things as easy as possible for him on Thursday? I mean, I know he's a professional quarterback. He's been there before, but I feel like he's being thrown right back into the fire this week. Are there things they can do to kind of make that easier on him?
Well, they're also down, you know, in the wide receiver category, too, with we're not certain on Jarvis's status. It would probably make more sense to have him hold out so he's got another 10 days after this for the next game. But that's not definitive as we tape this as we speak. So I think you'll like, in the game last week, you know, the visitors came in and they were playing – like some six-man fronts. And so, you know, they started the game. They spread things out to try to, you know, be successful against them with a little bit more options for Baker to throw to. They had empty backfields on occasions, on that sort of stuff. But I would imagine this week with the young tackles, if they're playing in instead of Conklin and Wills, I would think you'd see more of the 13 personnel. You'd see more of the, you know, the tight end group being more involved in this game. So tight ends can help in pass protection. Tight ends obviously can help clear the way for the backup running back. This is actually the backup running back, if you want to get down to it, in D'Ernest Johnson.
Yeah.
So and they'll have a different look too in the running back room as well. They elevated John Kelly to the roster, so, and he's more of a between, you know, he can run between the tackles. Demetric Felton isn't really that kind of guy. So with the Browns before, when Chubb and Hunt were healthy, if one of them was in the backfield, there was still the possibility they could go outside or they could go inside. A guy like Demetric Felton's not going to be in the backfield, and, you know, this wouldn't be the second coming of Metcalf up the middle, in my estimation. And so it makes more sense for them to come out this, in the game and, you know, be a little bit heavy in their personnel groupings and see if they can pound the visitors and move down the field that way and, you know, play safe to the best kind of football. See if there is success with it.
I'll tell you what, John Kelly is a name that our own Bruce Van Dyke has become interested in this week. Not so much for his on the football field abilities, but I don't know if you knew this, JT. He's quite the avid skateboarder. I actually almost wanted to make a professional career out of that instead of football. So, of course, myself and Bruce got lost in a YouTube rabbit hole with looking up John Kelly's skateboarding videos. You'd think we'd be watching football highlights. No, no. We'd rather watch him carve it up there on the skateboard.
Well,
but
Rocco, I mean, at his size, that's pretty cool.
It's amazing to watch. It's amazing to watch the balance, and he's able to, you know, he's not out there doing Tony Hawk level things, but it's pretty cool to see him, you know, whip around in the videos. So very cool, very cool. John,
well, we could have a long discussion on Tony Hawk himself.
Yeah.
How is a guy 50 years of age or whatever it is he is still doing this type of stuff?
He's
quite incredible. Incredible an athlete.
He's on Twitter and everything with the youngsters. He's still doing it, man. Yeah, gotta love Tony Hawk. Gotta love him. John Telich, our guest here on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Back to the Browns here, JT. The penalties on Sunday against the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Oof. I mean, you know, there are some gripes to be had with the officials, I think, in a couple of those instances. But at the end of the day, I think the amount of penalties this team has been stacking up as of late reflects perhaps a lack of discipline. Do you see a larger problem perhaps there?
Yeah, I think you saw on a couple of occasions, snap counts, those types of things. They just don't look like the Stefanski teams that we saw for the most part in 2020 when they weren't penalized that much. And they just seem to be unraveling slightly here. And I think this is a pivotal game. It's a nationally televised contest. It's a lot of stress on the team in general. They're coming on a short week. They've coming off a game with a lot of penalties. Can they perform well? Can they button things up a little bit? Can they win under duress with no starting running back, no second level running back in Kareem Hunt? Receiver room affected, perhaps the tackles both being out, the injury to JOK on the defensive side, all of the things that have been going on with this team. This is kind of a pivotal game to see if they can make something great out of a real tough situation or, lose a third game in a row, which is obviously unheard of in the Stefanski era. And then how do you react from it after the end of the game tonight? So we'll see.
Well, I just think of the conversations tomorrow, JT, right? If this team heads into Friday at 3-4, I don't know. The conversations that will be had around town would not be good ones. And on the defensive side of the football there, JT, I mean, I think that's where a lot of these criticisms need to be had these past 2 weeks. I mean, you just can't give up, 37 points to the Cardinals with
correct
the injuries the way they're on, or the injuries where they're at offensively right now and across the board with this team. I don't know, 37 points, you can't give that up defensively. I think there needs to be a lot of improvement here tonight if they're going to win.
Yeah, I think if you just look at the three games that they've lost, and all those games were two real good quarterbacks, you know, Mahomes of Kansas City, and then the last two guys that we're talking about, Herbert and then Kyler Murray. I mean, they gave up 117 points in those three games. It's insane. I think the Arizona Cardinals have only given up 109 points this year.
Oh, man.
And they're 6-0. So, obviously out of sync. Their defensive efficiency has gone way down. They're like 24th in the league, and I think it might even be more so. And they lose a kid like JOK, who's, you know, basically on this team because of the great speed that he brings to them. We'll see if the other linebackers can step up in his stead. Rocco, this injury report that we have seen, I mean, it's almost as long as like the Bill of Rights. I mean, it's insane the amount of names that are on this thing. And I just don't think I've seen consistently over the past so many years them having so many names on that injury report week in and week out. So it will be interesting to see if this defense can get the job done against the Broncos. Broncos have lost three in a row, you know, Ravens, Steelers, Raiders. And, you know, they're kind of at a point in their season where they've got to figure out what the heck they are made of as well. So not a star power kind of a game tonight. You know, you're not going to have, you know, the star quarterback of the Browns playing per se, but you've got Garrett and Clowney, provided Clowney is able to overcome the three injuries that were listed on the injury report for him alone. Man. That's quite amazing. But it's Thursday Night Football. I'm excited that, you know, the game's on Fox 8. It's on our channel, so tune in for that. I'm sure you will. Browns fans will be putting up record numbers, I would imagine, in viewership tonight because of Cleveland, we love our Browns. So we'll see what happens. But that defense really, they've got to get the communication down. It's happened again on Sunday. There was a wide-open receiver in the back of the end zone, and that's a miscommunication, and it's happened way too much for a team like this. It's Joe Woods has got to really button this thing up, or things could get ugly.
This is a winnable one tonight, right, JT? I mean, just the excitement and sense around it heading into it, obviously with Baker being sidelined and the injuries stacking up, I understand why the excitement levels and the hype, per se, isn't where it normally would be for a Thursday night contest, at home, no less. But still, it almost feels like, you know, fans are not giving this team any chance. But I still think this is a winnable one. What say you, John Telich?
Yeah, I think it's winnable. I'm going back and forth on whether or not it's going to be a high-scoring affair or not. I don't know if you know, you've got a running back like D'Ernest Johnson. He's kind of like a straight-ahead kind of a guy. He's point A to point B. Obviously doesn't have the instincts that a Nick Chubb has. I mean, very few people on the planet do. And, you know, so it'll be interesting to see if he can be successful, if they can get a run game going. I would think maybe a game in the 20s. And it's certainly winnable for the Browns. If, you know, one of the areas I don't think we've talked that much about Rocco over these past 6 weeks is this team has been absolutely bereft in the department of taking the football away from the other team. It's one of the worst teams in football, and they've got to be better at that aspect. And I think a lot of times, it speaks to maybe this miscommunication that's been going on the defensive end, maybe in the back end of the D, where you're not seeing interceptions because guys aren't in the right position to make the play on the ball. And if you're in better position or you're more technique sound and you're not trying to be the hero and going for an interception and getting bitten by a play fake or what have you, or a double move by someone, you're having less and less chances of being there when the football arrives and maybe taking the ball away. They really had that department down pretty well last year, and it's just almost zero of it this year, and that's got to change rather quickly.
That's a good point. Yeah, we have kind of tabled that turnover creation conversation these past couple of weeks. And, boy, yeah, I think you're right, JT. I think that could play a huge factor tonight if the Browns can find a way to turn the ball over a couple of times, get Case Keenum in good field position. I think that'd be a huge help for that QB as he kind of gets thrown to the fire tonight against the Broncos. But should be a good one, a Thursday night matchup in Cleveland. Browns and Broncos, again, should be a good one. JT, thank you as always for the time, man. I appreciate it. Looking forward to breaking this one down with you next week.
I look forward to it, too, and for all you high school football fans, enjoy week 10 of high school football. It's going to be a great weekend for football, and so everybody enjoy it, and we'll talk to you next week, Rocco.